Access number 27789, Mr. Burt Wolstenholme, Rail 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Wolstenholme?
Yes, I was born in a place called Ancoats in Manchester.
And what was your date of birth?
1922.
And the actual date?
6th of August, 1922.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? Were you living, the family were living in Ancoats, were they?
Yes, my mum, my dad and my sister. My sister's about 5 years younger than me. My dad, he worked for the GPO all his life. My mum was just an housewife. And originally, before she was married, she worked in the mills.
Was it a comfortable child? I mean, did your dad's job bring in enough money to sort of keep the wolf from the door?
It was pretty hard going at the time because in 1922, there was a lot of unemployment, and I can remember times when my dad used to go down to the local canal with a bucket with holes in to scoop up coal to put on a fire. So it was pretty hard going, but it was a good time, nevertheless. And, of course, my dad was in the World War One.
Was he? Who did he serve with?
He was in what they call the Manchester Bantams. I suppose because they were all small blokes. My dad was only small, you see. But he managed to come out with it. Unfortunately, my uncle, he got killed in it. I was named after my uncle Herbert, and he died in World War One.
Now, what was it? Were you in sort of back-to-back terraces, that area of Ancoats?
We was in a terrace, but not back-to-back. When I lived with my mum and dad, we had a sort of a lounge and sitting room and a kitchen, and we had two large bedrooms, one small one, and a front garden. But we had an outside loo, which in the winter was quite horrendous when it was 6 inches deep in snow and you had to go to the loo, especially in the middle of the night. So it was quite an ordeal at the time.
Now, what about your education? Tell us about that.
Well, I went to elementary school, a place called Alfred Street School in Manchester. I was fortunate to finish up as captain of the school, and that was because the school was divided into four houses, which was Wellington, Nelson, Dickens and Shakespeare, and I was in the Wellington house, and I was captain of Wellington house, and we won all the trophies that particular year, so obviously I was made captain of the school. I was a prefect at the same time.
Now, how did you do? What were your subjects, and what subjects didn't you like? What was the sort of thing you liked?
I used to like, funny enough, I liked art, drawing, etc. I used to like history, composition. I hated maths. Other than that, I enjoyed my school days. I left at the age of 14.
Now, what about big hobbies or sport? Well, to sport first. Were you interested in sport?
Oh, definitely. I was football mad when I was a youngster, and we used to play for the local team that we had around at the time. And every so often, there used to be a big empty space at the back of where we lived, and all the kids used to turn up there, and we used to have races. I'm talking about the age of 11 and 12 years of age, and we used to run around this track and over the hill and all this business, and I think it kept us pretty fit as well, you know.
Did you play for a club or football, or was it your school?
I played for my school at cricket and football, and I played for a local club football, which was Crumsall Rangers at the time. We didn't do very good, but still we played.
Did you support either of the Manchester clubs?
At the time, I used to support Manchester City when I was... But then, in later years, my my support went to United. And ever since then, I've been supporting United.
Now, you left school when you were 14, so that would be the summer of 1936.
That's right, yeah.
How were you going to get a job? What were you going to do?
Well, at the time, you went to employment agency, and they used to give you what they call a green card at the time, and you had three jobs. You had to take one of those jobs, otherwise you didn't get no money. Anyway, I ended up getting a job at a wire factory, messing about with wire, making wire and that.
Electrical wire? Or
all sorts of wire. Different types, different thicknesses. And I stuck it for one day because there was rats running along where I was working. And I come home and I said to my dad, I don't want to work there anymore. I said, it's full of rats. So my dad said to me, well, you better get out and get yourself a job. So I got on my bike at the time, and I went to a place, all over the place looking, and I came to a place called Cheetham Hill. And I'm wandering along the road on my bike. I saw this butcher's shop, a man's and Salford Equitable Cooperative Society. So I went bowling in. I said, can you do with a little one? Because I was only small at the time. Anyway, they took me on in there, and I served my apprenticeship. Well, I didn't finish it.
As a butcher's boy?
Butcher's boy, yeah. And
was it a proper apprenticeship, or was it...
Yes, it would have been, but I never completed it. Well, I'll tell you why as we go along.
Now, how did you like working in the butcher's?
Well, I enjoyed every minute of it.
In what way? What was it you liked about it?
Well, we used to travel miles and miles and miles delivering meat. Well, in a day, I would say that I cover about 20 miles on my bike with a big basket on the front full of meat. And used to do one round in the morning, come back, have your dinner, and do a round in the afternoon.
So, although you were an apprentice, one of the big things you would do was delivering.
That is correct.
And what about, how were they training you in the cuts?
Yes,
the meat
yes, I had to start learning how to cut joints out with the old doings and sharpen the knives and all the things that went together about making meat for the customers, you know.
And did they emphasise the cleaning routine? Yeah, you know, because cleanliness is very important.
Oh, God, yeah. One of my jobs there was I had a wire brush and the chopping block I had to go up and down with the wire brush, get rid of all the old bits of meat. I had to sweep the shop out and put new sawdust down. And I used to have to... One of the jobs I used to like doing was brownstone in the front. We used to brown them. And I used to draw. Like, when it was Christmas, I used to draw a turkey on and all this business and write Merry Christmas in the doorway. You know, that sort of thing.
Now, how long... You'd started in, what, summer of... Well, the autumn of 36,
yeah.
How long did you do it? Were you there then?
Up till being, I was just 19, and of course the war started.
So that's right up to the war.
1939.
I'll come back to that. Now, what about the outbreak of war? Had you seen it coming? What do you remember of the day war broke out? You know, those two things.
Well, the first thing I remember was the ARP being formed and...
No, I mean, do you remember the actual day war broke out?
Oh, September 1939.
Did you hear the broadcast? What happened? Sunday.
Well, we heard Chamberlain at that particular time saying that he tried his best to get Germany to sort of... No, that we didn't want war, but anyway, he went on to say that unfortunately we're now at war with Germany.
Now, how did you and your family react? I mean, you were a young lad, but you were still under recruiting age, though, weren't you? You're 17, about. But you know, you're in the line of fire, and your dad had been through it. Well, what did you and your dad think, and your mum?
Well, I said to my dad at this particular time, I said, I'd like to join up, Dad. And my dad encouraged me. My dad was the sort of chap that wasn't one for backing down from anything. And he hated what was going on, the Germans, the way they'd overrun Poland and God knows what. Because it's when they invaded Poland that we came in the war, as you know. And then I told my boss that, well, the butchers, I was going to join up.
Now, how soon was it before? So the war started. Now, how long was it before you volunteered?
Well, I was 19 at the time.
So that's you volunteered in 41.
No, 40. I must have been under 1940. So I went.
So you were 18 because you're 18 in August 1940.
Yeah, I went. I joined up at a place called Dover Street. And
now, hang on. What happened between there and then? Did the war affect your work at the butcher's before you joined up?
No, I don't. I think things
they hadn't
went.
Brought in rationing then.
No.
So
no.
Things were pretty well. The working can't continue as it was. Like
more
now,
less,
what
yeah.
about air raid precautions? You mentioned that. I mean, did you have an Anderson shelter or any sort of air raid shelter?
Yeah, we had an air raid shelter that was built at the back of us. All out of brick it was, and concrete on the top.
And that was for your street or what?
That was for our particular row, and there was others on. It was only a small village, and there was other shelters. They weren't Andersons; they were made out of brick.
What were they like inside? There's not many of them left, is there?
Oh, pretty musty. Pretty musty. It wasn't a place where you'd like to live, let's put it that way.
Did you go in it much? I mean, to take shelter there?
I think we had a couple of areas. I'm not a bit fuzzy on that, but I remember going in it.
Now, what about the blackout?
Oh, yeah, you had to have on the front, where your front door was, you used to paint a piece of white on one of the bricks, but you had to have your blackout. And stick the old tapes up at the windows.
And what was it? I mean, you'd be out delivering sort of in the morning at night when there's no light, street lights on that. Was it difficult?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty awkward, you know. But then again, because you'd done it so often, you knew where it all was, you know.
Now, did you join it before the Blitz started on Manchester? They started bombing?
Yeah.
So the next thing really is when you joined up. Now, do you know what month you joined up in?
May 40, that's right, yeah.
I'll make you 17 there.
Eh?
I'll make you 17 then. If you're born in 1922.
Oh, it must have been 41 then. Can't be, can it? I know I went in May.
Let's take it as May 40. We'll change it, you know, sort of. Now, how did you go about volunteering? You weren't called up then?
No. I went down to Dover Street, where there was enlisting. And I wanted to join the Navy. And they had me interview with the Navy, and they said they'd send for me. I waited a couple of weeks. Nobody sent for me, so I went back again. And they told me to go home, they'll send for me. Don't be impatient. So another couple of weeks went by. I went down again, and they said, "No, we don't want you yet." Oh, with that, I said, "Oh well, forget it." So I came out that door and went in the RAF door, and within a week I went to Padgate.
Now, when you volunteered the RAF, do you remember any of the sort of procedure? You know, when you first, you know, went into their office, what did? Any tests or assessment tests or tell you what you could and couldn't do?
Well, they asked me, obviously, my background and my age and everything else. And I'm trying to think what else they might have asked me. I can't think what else they asked me, to be honest, at that time.
Okay, so you volunteer. Now, were you volunteering for air crew or volunteering as a. What were you volunteering as?
Well, this. you're going to laugh at this because I wanted to be a Spitfire pilot. And mind you, this was later on. I've got to go farther on. Can I say that I went to Padgate first?
No, but when you volunteered, did you know? Did you, you know, when you first volunteered, what you're asking to be?
No, they didn't ask me any questions about that.
So you just said
you'd be going. Yeah, they'd be going to Padgate, and I went to Padgate. That was my first lap.
No, so when would that be? That's the aircrew reception centre, isn't it?
Yeah, it was about June, July, something like that.
And what happened when you first got to Padgate?
Well, they issued us with the normal gear, like.
Can you remember what they gave you and how they gave you the uniform?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you formed a queue and you went in one door in this great big building and they just slung these things at you, sort of thing. Whether they fit you or not, they could have cared less, but they slung all your uniform at you. And of course, you went back to your bed, you tried them on. And I wasn't too bad. It fitted me pretty well. Some of the others had problems. And of course, there we started on square bashing.
Now, how did you take to drill? You had not done any before, had you?
No. I've got a story to tell you there. There was, we had a naffy, like any other camp. And we was making our way to the cafe. And there was about me and I think there was two or three more of us, about three or four of us. And there was this great big square. So I said, well, can't you might as well cut across here to get to Naffy, say walking all the way around. I got about halfway around and this voice says, you lot, what the hell are you doing? And it was a warrant officer. And he went like this, he beckoned us. We went round and he said, what are you doing, what? Because don't you know this place is sacred, this square? You walk round, he said. I said, well, I didn't know that, you know, because then he picked on me as a ringleader. And he said, right, he said, to make sure you don't do it again, go around this square twice. He said, gallop. And we had to run round this square and it was quite a way, it was a big square. And when we came back, he said, right, you can go and get your naffies now. So, after that, I never walked across the square.
And how did you take to drill? I mean, did you... were you in that? Some people have trouble, you know, the TikTok or Penguin, as they call it.
Oh, 6 o'clock in the morning was the worst. You had to get out at 6 o'clock in the morning. And in your sort of your PT kit, and you did your PT. And then later in the afternoon, you were back on the square with rifles and doing the usual thing, you know, marching up and down and getting bowled at all every 5 minutes, you know.
Did you mind it, drill?
Not too bad, no. I didn't mind it too much, you know. It was exhausting by the time we finished. But I think that's when I began to realise I was a man and not a boy anymore.
And what about the physical training, the PT? Any run? How much PT was there?
Oh, God, there was loads of it.
We had
all this running around the square like we did before. Then we had all the press-ups and the usual thing that goes with PT exercises. And, I don't know, just your legs. I found my legs was caving in at the end of it all, you know.
What about your huts? What were they like? You know,
the usual Nissen type hut, you know, with a stove in the middle.
It was summer, wasn't it? So
yeah, it was summer. It wasn't too bad there.
And what about the beds and space?
Oh, the beds was three biscuits, wasn't it? What we call biscuits, like three square pieces, and that was your bed, and of course your blanket on the top. And of course, every morning you had to put it all together on the bottom of your bed when the inspection. And woe betide you if anything was out of place, you know.
So anything else you were doing at Padgate? That's just really, you weren't there, most people aren't there long.
No,
there?
A couple of weeks.
And then where were you sent then?
Then I was sent to Blackpool. And this is where...
Now what's that called? Do you know what the unit's called?
Operational Training Unit, I suppose.
I don't think, no, it wouldn't be that.
No, it wasn't OTU, no. That's where I learnt my Morse code.
That's not written on any documentation, your unit. You've not got that at all.
No, Wolfox Lodge is where I went eventually.
Okay, so what were you doing at Blackpool?
We did the usual. At the time, there was a Woolworths, and over the top of Woolworths, I was billeted in at north up the North Shore, over a bank, and we used to assemble there and march all the way down, and because of a potential air crew, we used to have a white flash in the caps, and we marched all the way down through Woolworths, and then up over the top we started learning this Morse code. But I was lucky because I already knew it because I was in the Boy Scouts.
Now, so how come you're being taught Morse code? I thought you were going to be a Spitfire. Do you see what I mean? When did this all disappear?
I missed that bit out. Before we started all this marching down and that, you went to you had a medical, and you went through all this medical. And one of them was, to cut a long story short, apart from the usual things, jumping on and off a stool, and we had to sit in a chair that went round and round, and then when it stopped, there was a line, and you had to walk along it, and you could see three lines going like that. And the other one, which is important, I had to sit on the floor with my back to the wall, with my legs outstretched, and then they measured the length of my legs. Then I went before the panel, which was a big round table. There was all these big knobs with these, what we used to call scrambled legs on the caps and that, commodores and squadron leaders, you name it. And you were sat there, and they asked me what I wanted to be. So I said I wanted to be a Spitfire pilot. Anyway, one of these buds turned around and told me, unfortunately, I can't be a Spitfire pilot. And when I said, well, why not, you know, they said, because your legs are too short. And at the time, I thought, well, what the hell's legs got to do with it? So I asked the question, I said, well, you know, why is my legs too short? And they said, well, we can't make every Spitfire to suit everybody's length of legs. They said, if we haven't got a seat you can push backwards and forwards. So that was me, Spitfire pilot, gone up the wall. Would you like going bomber command? I said, yeah, all right, fair enough then. And I ended up being a wireless operator, accepted as a wireless operator.
Now, were you going to be a wireless operator air gunner? I know they tend to just do the wireless operator.
Yeah, it was.
But you were trained in both?
Warp AG, yeah.
So that was all done at Blackpool before you started the training.
That's right. Then we started on the Morse and that business.
Now tell me about the Morse code training. What advantage was your Boy Scout stuff?
Well, I knew the Morse code at start off, and it was second nature to me. And we worked our way up to about 15 words a minute.
How did they actually train you? I mean, what was their method of training?
Well, there was a chap at the front. And he was sending out the old Morse code, and you could hear pencils breaking where floats were getting up, going up the wall with it. And there was quite a lot of them failed, actually. They failed the Morse code.
But you were fine.
Oh, I was fine. I knew it backwards, being in the Boy Scouts.
Now, anybody out, any other training you were doing? You,
well,
from... At Blackpool? Or was it just Morse code?
Just the Morse, the wireless part of it. And of course,
any maintenance, wireless maintenance, or was it just Morse code?
No, we didn't do maintenance at that particular time.
All codes, just, or
no, we just did the Morse code there.
Now, what about your billet? What was that like? Was it
I was billeted over a bank.
So it wasn't a hotel or
oh no,
they often were.
No, you were all billeted in private billets.
And what was your billet like?
Oh, it was quite nice actually. I can't think who the hell it was that was living there. Must have been the bank manager, I can't remember properly on that bit. But I know it was very nice. I had a nice bedroom and everything.
Did you have a bedroom to yourself, or were there three or four of you?
No, I had a bedroom to myself. I was doing well.
And the bank manager, whoever, were they friendly?
Oh, very, very friendly, yeah.
Did they provide you food as well, or...?
We got our meals in there, and they looked at us pretty well.
And what about recreation, you know, getting out and about in the evening? Were you able to go, because Blackpool's not a bad place to be. There's still the Tower Ballroom and things, but...
We used to go dance in the Tower Ballroom.
Now, what was a dance in the Tower Ballroom like? I mean, I think it's still there, actually, but what was it like, a typical dance? Because dances aren't like that anymore.
No, it was ballroom dancing, you know, and I've got quite an amusing story. I got this girl, I asked her, did she want to go have a dance? So off I went on the floor, and I'm halfway through a quick step. And suddenly she stopped and slapped me in the face. And I was dumbfounded. I thought, what's this for? So anyway, off she shoots off the floor, and I was embarrassed. Everybody's looking at me. And anyway, I went to her in the end. I said, what's the idea? I said, why did you slap me in the face? What have I done wrong? And she said, you know. I said, well, I don't know. You tell me. She said, you want to learn to control yourself. I said, what are you on about? And the offset of it all was, in our tunic here, used to be a pocket, and you used to keep your first aid in there, and obviously it was bulky. And of course, you don't in clothes as we was them days. And that's right,
She thought it was something else.
Yeah, so...
Well, we can't put that.
So, that was quite an embarrassment for me. So I dumped her anyway, right away.
Who was... Was it a live band there? What was the band?
Oh, yeah. I can remember Joe Loss being there. Billy Turner turned up once.
So the top bands...
Oh, yeah, they were all top bands, yeah. They were good bands, yeah.
And did you drink much? I mean, would you drink now?
Well...
Was there a bar there? I presume there was a bar.
Oh, you couldn't drink. There was no hard drinks. No, if you wanted a pint, you went outside. Yeah. But them days, I could knock about 8 pints of back and feel nothing about it. Today, a pint lasted me all night.
Would you go drinking much with the other...
Was what?
Would you go drinking much?
Oh, yeah, we did. We used to get in the old pubs in Blackpool and have a drink or two, you know.
And what were the pubs like? How friendly were they?
Well, as soon as they saw you with the uniform and your white doings, they knew you were all potential air crew. And, oh, well, they treated you with open arms everywhere you went, you know. And we used to go down to the opera house. And the reason we used to go there... Because they had these nudes, but they weren't allowed to move at that particular time. And they used to come out and just stand there like silhouettes. And, of course, being young blokes, we used to go in there just to see the nudes, you know.
Now, anything else about Blackpool? How long were you there for?
Oh, I was there probably about 10 weeks, I think.
So still 1940?
Yeah.
And what's next?
Then what happened then? I went up to Dumfries, Scotland, and took my gunnery course there.
Do you know which gunnery school it was?
I can't remember the name of it, the number. All I know, it was Dumfries.
And what do you remember about the course there?
Oh, it was pretty good, except for one particular day that... They had these turrets, he had about 4 turrets, and you could swing them around like, you know. And he had the targets in front. Of course, you press the old button and blew the target. And one particular day, we were all stood at the back. And there was these 4 blokes doing their bit in the turret. And one bloke, I don't know what happened, but he must have pressed the wrong lever, because instead of it firing forward, the turret started to move. Because we all had to duck, thing, because all the bullets, these were live bullets. And they were flying way above us. And I believe he got a bit of a rollicking, but that was one little experience we had there.